I think that a lot of people do know some Aboriginal people that just don't realise it.
You look at my mum, she's English. You look at my dad, he's Aboriginal. And look at me, I'm a bit in between. I haven't got the flat nose anymore. I sometimes wish I did.
You know, just because I'm Aboriginal doesn't mean I have a flag tattooed to my forehead.
Like, most of them call me Auntie Lynn, and I'm happy to be their auntie, even though that I'm not.
Because I am Aboriginal because of my DNA, not because of my lingo.
Meet the Mob, a podcast from 1233 ABC Newcastle with Jill Emberson. Subscribe at abc.net.au/Newcastle.
It's a rainy weekday afternoon and I'm sitting in a cafe in Newcastle with Stephen Slee for Meet the Mob this week. Stephen runs his own business. I really want to find out about it, but first I want to ask a couple of very pertinent questions. What football team do you follow, Stephen?
The Rabbitohs.
Even though you're a Novocastrian?
Yeah. I guess a lot of Aboriginal players in there, so I like to support the Mob as it is. So
you'd go for the Rabbitohs over the Knights, even though you're a Novocastrian?
Yeah, got to. Can't help it, really.
Does that get you into a bit of strife when you go to Knights versus Rabbitohs games?
Oh, not really, when the Rabbitohs are winning.
Yeah, but they don't very often.
Yeah, well, last year weren't too bad. They'll be better this year.
So you follow the Rabbitohs, but what about playing sport? Do you play much yourself?
I've always played rugby league, so yeah, changed teams here and there. But yeah, I've always tried to have a proactive lifestyle and yeah, very active in rugby league in particular.
You any good?
I don't like to wrap myself really. So yeah, I leave that up to people to judge.
You got young kids, are they sporty?
Yeah, all very, very sporty. My young girl, she's always out running around, kicking the footy, likes to ride the skateboards. My young boy, he's five. He can already hit golf balls, play footy, tennis, cricket, you name it. And our eldest boy, because he's elder, he's more working now, but he loves his footy and that as well. So very, sporting family.
Hey, Stephen, tell me about your growing up here in Newcastle.
I was born and raised in Newcastle. My family originates from the Walker, Nurella and Armidale regions. Mum and Dad growing up here were being Aboriginal, growing up in the community, always worked in the Aboriginal community. So it's been something that's, you know, passed down, I think, as having a strong passion for culture. But working and being in the community, whether it's personally or professionally, it creates a strong passion for, you know, wanting to help our communities. Whether it's in, you know, personal barriers to life in general, or whether it's employment and training as well.
I find that quite a lot, that Aboriginal people really do like working in Aboriginal organisations. You've told me why you like to do it.
Yep.
You got any thoughts on why loads of people, Aboriginal people, like to do that?
For me, I think it's, a lot of it could be related to culture. And the expectations as well. If you're working in an Aboriginal community or community organisation, they understand, obviously, you know, the cultural requirements and beliefs, but the expectations between working but also the community. So it can be difficult. I've worked for non-Indigenous and Indigenous organisations, and I can see the positives and negatives for both. But overall, you feel comfortable working with your own mob. So, yeah, really, you know, I think that sort of comes back to it. You know, growing up in the community, you usually know most of the community.
Possibly related to them.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah, when you're talking to your so-called clients, it's really just talking to people you know and your family and friends.
Now, as a business person now, Stephen Slee, I wonder whether that actually can create a few problems, you know, when it comes to invoicing your clients who might be your friends or your cousins?
Not necessarily. I think our local Aboriginal businesses are running pretty good. They're run by pretty smart people, obviously educated and experienced people. So in regards to our businesses, I try to, our Aboriginal businesses, I'd love to work with all. I think, you know, wherever I can put my experiences and my contractors in to assist our community develop more, I'll do that wherever I can. The only difficult thing is that, you know, because people do know you, then if they're looking for employment or looking for training, then, you know, yeah, you do get a lot of calls and a lot of people asking for help. And that can be the biggest problem, is because you do definitely want to help, but you've also got to run a business at the same time. We're not government funded at all. We're 15 months in operation now, and we're not relying on any government funding. So I've got to be very careful as to, you know, personal and professional.
But are you good at saying no?
I try, but I think with our systems and processes, we've got a good system in place for community members who are expressing interest, so that any of our future employment opportunities or our effective partnerships where we can refer them on to people where they may have those opportunities available at that time.
So let's find out about this business of yours. It's called Premier Training, and it specialises, as I see here, in professional development training, skill set training, employment and Aboriginal services. Is this something that you've developed over time, and primarily, what are you actually offering?
I've worked in employment services for, or employment and training, for 9 to 10 years now. And it's gradually a build up of over those years of the experience from managing trainees, apprentices, managing registered training organisations, employment services. So what it's done is building all those services into one, to try to have pretty much a one-stop shop for, whether it's for community members, employers, or individuals themselves.
What made you think there was actually, you know, a market there for a business like that?
Well, I think there's not enough Aboriginal businesses around in particular. A lot of our people are very smart people and have a lot of capabilities. So for Indigenous services specifically, I think there is a great amount around for our Aboriginal people to tap into. Just a bit more focus on the marketing aspect, so that the corporate companies are aware of the many types of services they can be tapping into. As for the training and employment for non-Indigenous or whoever they are in particular, there's always demand. The government has targets with employment and training, and it's just a matter of ensuring that we are up to date with the current trends of industries, the targets of the government, but also the Job Service Australia providers. They're a good tap-in for us. We work closely with Mission Australia. They're very passionate about Indigenous employment as well, so that's helped us a lot over the coming 12 months. So just ensuring we're on top of the market is very critical for us to stay afloat, really.
Because it's a pretty competitive game now, the private training sort of market, aren't there? Stacks of organisations, little and big, that are out there selling private training with a bit of, you know, government funding.
Yeah, the training industry is it's always booming. There's a massive amount of dollars around. There's funding bodies that are funding it. The Job Service Australia providers are paying for it as well. They've got a commitment for their job seekers to be trained and upskilled. In Newcastle, I mean, you walk through the centre in Newcastle on Hunter Street and you'd probably find at least half a dozen RTOs in there alone.
What's an RTO?
A registered training organisation.
Okay, that's what you've got to be in order to be in this market.
Yes and no. Registered training organisations primarily provide nationally accredited training. So they're primarily full qualifications or statement of attainments with units of competency. The difference between us, though, is we like to provide professional development workshops as well. What I can see from our employees and our clients is that a lot of companies now do not have the time to be sending their staff out for full days or for full qualifications. So looking at short, sharp professional development workshops, whether it's a 1-2 hour through to 1 day workshops.
It's a whole competitive world out there, isn't it, of training, and it's fascinating to know that you've set up your own business in running it. I had no idea it was such a competitive market, and great to know that there's local Aboriginal organisations diving in and getting a piece of that business for themselves. Just to try and get a feeling for what drives you, I wonder if you could tell me about, you know, a professional development experience you've had with somebody that's really made you go, yes, I'm in the right business.
I've got plenty from when I was managing school-based trainees. I know one of the young lads, he'd be probably mid-20s at best. He's the manager of a bank already. He's, you know, so he's achieved massive amounts in his short-term career. We've got a girl in her mid-20s as well, and she's now in the mining industry. You know, after her 12-month traineeship, her salaries are, you know, six figures. So to be able to offer our community those type of opportunities, it doesn't just change the individual, it changes our community, the families, but also our future generations.
Sitting in a cafe on a wet afternoon with Stephen Slee for Meet the Mob on 1233 ABC Newcastle. Stephen, you've talked about, you know, the success that you've helped support in individuals through your business. You've also got a pretty cool success story to tell for your oldest son, who's doing pretty well in, well, it turns out, television.
Yeah, James, our oldest son, he's going great guns at the moment. Last year, he gained an audition for the first ever completely Aboriginal directed and an Aboriginal acted TV series, Redfern Now. It was amazing to see him on the screen and to be able to display his talent that we did not know he had.
How'd that even come off in the first place?
Pretty much out through our network. So through the community, we seen it come about that they were looking for some actors and some people just, you know, for fill-ins really, and sent some stuff on to the people, and they got back in contact with us. After the show, he actually picked up a job straight away at the Sydney Theatre Company, in which he's been working since November, working in Sydney, Canberra and Perth, touring the country, doing a theatre production with some pretty high-profile people, very well-known in the industry. And it just keeps going. He's picked up another TV show and another theatre production as well. So it's good to be able to have, you know, our own, not only our own mob, but our own family really achieving.
And you had no idea he was even good at that?
He's a very talented boy. You know, he's very artistic, and, you know, something that he commits to, you can see he can definitely very, you know, achieve very easily. So,
is he still at school?
Yeah, he's still at school. That is the bit difficult, because we're having to sort of liaise between school and himself to ensure that we gain homework and we sort of keep him up to date with school. So that's a bit difficult. And in which, now that he's picked up more additional work, we'll be having to organise tutors on a regular basis as well. So, but, you know, it's a great achievement. He's got his auntie that works in the industry, and she's been a great support mechanism for us to tap into as well.
So there's a bit of showbiz in the Slee family as well.
From his mother's side, yeah. My side, I've been more in the football again. But yeah, look, you know, between both families, we've got our share fair of talent.
What did your boy do in Redfern Now?
He played the role of Tyler. So it was a pretty sad series. His mother went through some rough times, and he had to support his younger sister in the show, and contact his auntie and move out of the house for a period of time with the support from his auntie and uncle, until they supported his mum to get back on track.
Stephen, it's good to talk to you on Meet the Mob. I'm sure we've just scratched the surface. Just before we wrap up our conversation, you've said you're a bit of a footballer, but tell me on a couple of other fronts, what kind of music are you into?
Oh, I'm a bit of everything, really. Growing up, listened to mum and dad's old music, the country and western, and a couple of those old songs, through to today's R&B, really.
So you like a mix of music. Do you and your wife ever get out to see any live music these days, or is that life on hold?
I don't really like to go to the live shows much. Me, Deanne does. She's been to a couple recent that have been in Newcastle, but, you know, some of the really talented ones would be good to go to if they ever come to Newcastle again.
Now, I have to ask you this. Do you listen to the radio?
Yeah, all the time. I think it's great. It can be great, and it can be a bit of a downer too. You know, I steered off about for 6 to 12 months of trying to not watch the news and listen to the radio, just due to all the negativity. Life is difficult enough as it is. I understand we've got to, you know, discuss what's happening, but at the same time, you know, showing success and showing achievement helps motivate those that are around us.
Yeah, but it doesn't make news.
Exactly, and that's the problem. You know, bad things happen to every culture, every community, but it's about time to start focusing on the good things.
You've been listening to a 1233 ABC Newcastle podcast. For more, visit our website at abc.net.au/Newcastle.